seated. Great to have y'all here this morning. Thank you for that wonderful time of worship. At this point, we will invite our Grace kids to leave. Where are our Grace kids? Awesome. Who has them today? My wife. Great. Tell them we love them. That is awesome. We're going to move into a time in our service today that's a unique time and a special time in the life of any church. The church has some responsibilities that often go not talked about in many places, but we want to celebrate them here. Of course, we participate together as a family in the life of the church. We baptize, we have communion, we teach God's word, we pray, we worship. That's part of our life. But another thing that we're supposed to do as a church is hand off the ministry and ministries to those who are coming behind us. There's a responsibility to be what's called transgenerational and then cross-cultural. There's a responsibility for us to give things away to people who are walking into a different world than maybe what we would go into. And there's a responsibility of the church to empower people as God calls them into ministry, to empower them to take that journey, knowing they have the full backing and full support of their church. Their brothers and sisters here are going to love them, going to support them, and going to stand beside them. We have an exciting opportunity today to ordain Kenny Harris. Let's give it up for Kenny. Before we have Kenny come up, and we're going to set him down and give him a mic and gather everybody around him, before we do that, we got a video. Chris, we ready? We got a little video to show. This is a little bit about what Kenny's ministry is going to look like.
Hey, I'm James Disciple Johnson, National President and Founder of Disciple Christian Motorcycle Club. But hey, I'm just an average Joe with a game plan for life.
I started in drugs when I was 14, smoking pot, and then it led to coke, and then meth, and shrooms, and pills, and whatever. I had like an Altoids tin full of dope that I would leave the house with. And it was just, my life was about chasing women and drugs. I was in a motorcycle club at the end of the 90s in Detroit, where the motorcycle club wars were. And, you know, got into it not knowing what I was getting into, just for the brotherhood.
One day, it was Sunday morning, you know, and I was chasing this guy. I knew he'd have more dope, man, and this pickup truck, and I couldn't walk for 3 months. And so I started going to church like 3 and 4 times a Sunday. Got married, and you know, so sort of years later, my wife and I got motorcycles again in 2009. And I immediately fell in with the 1% clubs that were in the area and got to know them, and you know, saw myself wanting to do that again.
Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, as I like to put it, I was part of the outlaw community. I belonged to an outlaw motorcycle club. I grew up in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood, and I felt like I had one of two choices. I could be the token white boy in a Mexican gang, or I could find something else. Well, it happened to coincide with a guy that lived two doors down from me. His brothers were coming back from the Korean War, and they were all bikers. And I found that I was kind of left alone when I hung out with the biker community. So at a very young age, I was, you know, handing wrenches and being their gopher and that sort of thing, and progressed into the outlaw motorcycle clubs through that. My job basically was to go from California to Texas running guns. No waiting period in Texas, so I'd go in, get a load of guns, and take them back to California. But alcoholism, drug addiction, many years of my life was spent in that lifestyle. Violence, just for no apparent reason. I had walked away from the drugs and the alcohol, and it was one of the easiest things I ever did. When I actually called on him and he removed that from me, I laid it down at his feet and was able to leave it there. Something I'd never been able to do prior to. And then once I found God, it became a priority for me to be able to witness to the outlaw community.
My My goal was just to start an organization where, number one, it keeps me clean and sober, keeps me accountable. I have a surrounding of guys who are around me to keep me on the path, you know. And it became about helping them stay on the path, helping them get out of addiction, depression, generational curses, unforgiveness. And then to go back into the environments where guys are going through that lifestyle, which is a hopeless and unhappy, miserable lifestyle, and just get them out and get them saved and get them into the glorious light of Christ. Most people in the motorcycle world in general look, you know, badass because they're actually like using that external image to fight back against the hurts in their past. And so if you've been abused physically or sexually, if you've not had a good father figure, if you got beat up a lot, you might put a tough exterior out there. And so a lot of times the tough exterior is about hurt. We're not trying to make the largest Christian organization here. We're trying to make a group of men who are seriously focused on becoming solid men of God. We require men to go to the next level in their faith.
On the third day, he rose from the dead, and he ascended unto heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, for he has come to judge the quick and the dead.
And so God has given me an opportunity to use these pieces of cotton here as a worm that I'm wiggling as bait to bring men into going to the next level in their spiritual faith. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men grab it for themselves. You have to be engaged in a violent fight against sin in your life. You can't just like, you know, well, I go to church once a week. You've got to be serious about your faith.
Hi, I'm Ronaldo Wynn with Game Plan for Life, and you just heard from the guys from Disciple Christian Motorcycle Club. And they shared some of their intimate stories, how they struggled with sin and addiction. They felt the most important way to overcome that was through accountability. And the only way that they were able to take their faith through the next level was by being accountable to their brother in the Christian Motorcycle Club. So I ask you that question. If you have questions about how to be accountable and to overcome some of those struggles in your life, go to chapter 6 in the Game Plan for Life book, where Rabbi Zacharias talks about overcoming those sins and addiction. If you want to be able to go to our website for a free copy of our Game Plan for Life book, go to gameplanforlife.com. Also, you can get a free New Testament study Bible.
Amen. Hey guys, is that awesome? Great, great, great. Kenny, where are you? Come on down. Come on down. Amen. The hot seat, brother. Those of you who don't know Kenny, I've known Kenny for many years. We've walked together through some good times and some rough times. I was able to officiate the wedding. Me and Kayla, not sure why she said yes. Are we sure about that yet? No, we're still not sure about why she said yes. Yeah, I think it's an eye problem. That's what I think it is. Yeah. To say I love this guy would be an understatement. What he represents and what he brings to our church, what he brings to our community, how he helps us expand the gospel into territories that I will never walk into. Now, let's be real clear. Kenny has a word for me. It's called Poindexter. Meaning I will never be in a motorcycle club. And can I tell you? It's not my calling. But guess what? It's his. And we affirm that. And we believe that today. And so, Kenny, just want to give you a few minutes to share your call into ministry and what we're about to do here. So, please.
Thank you guys for coming out.
Close to your mouth. Yeah, you got to get up here.
I'd rather just speak louder. guys, thank you for coming out today for this. Family, friends, brothers, guys in that are walking with me through this ministry. The Lord called me a little while back, he put that need and that want for brotherhood. Something that I was lacking. When I stepped back into faith and back into actually walking out what it is God had for me, I lost most of my friends, most of the people who I called brother, most of the people who I counted as family. This club brought that back to me. They gave me people I can count on. That spread from there. It spread into this church. I have guys I literally could call in the middle of the night and they would show up at my house. There are families now that are linked to my family forever. It did start inside my club and it did push out from there. As a ministry, we reach out to the guys who are in a lifestyle that is filled with sex, drugs, and violence. A lot of them have been hurt badly by Christians, by churches, by religion. They've been pushed out to the outer fringes. They hear hypocrisy in every word that is spoken. I have to go into that world now, not only show them that the hypocrisy was not from God, but there are people that live the life they claim to live. I'm the only light they may ever see. And I have to show that light everywhere I go. I'm also reaching out to men who are, as my national president and founder James Johnson says, last night were in their garage drinking a beer and working on their motorcycle. And they're in church today because that's just what they do. There's no real faith. Those are the men I'm reaching out to. Those are the guys I'm trying to call, to give the light to. We're not all going to be able to reach out to those types of people. Each one of you has a calling on your life. Each one of you has a place where you go to work, where you go to school, a place where you hang out. That's your calling. Those are the people you are to reach out to. I go to places that are a little bit darker and a little bit dirtier. But that's where God called me to go. My request is that you pray for me daily. Pray for my club daily. We do some dangerous things, I will readily admit. We just lost a soul to violence in our state, in my region. I just lost a soul to violence. That's a soul that we won't be able to account to our name. We tried, but he did not accept. So every day we lose somebody. But it's our job to put the light in front of them so that they can at least have the attempt to accept. So, like I said, pray for me as often as you can remember my name. Because not only do I have to worry about the cars and things on the road, I also have to worry about the atmosphere I'm putting myself into. So please keep me in your prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Kenny, thank you, brother. Sit down right here. Kayla, can you come forward? Kayla, all ordained people, if you're an ordained minister of the gospel, we invite you to come right now. If you're ordained minister of the gospel, we invite you to come. Ordained elders, come after that. If you're ordained an elder or a deacon, we invite you to come. I want to read a scripture. Okay, some of you are wondering if this whole thing is biblical or not. Let me read you a scripture. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about gifts and callings, and he says this. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Here's what Scripture says. that God being sovereign and ruler over creation says this. He says, there are callings and giftings, and they're going to be different. Not everyone's the same. Then some are going to have some of the same gifts, but they're going to live it out in different ministries. Not every ministry is going to look the same. And then there are effects. Not every person in every ministry is going to have the same impact. God orchestrates this. And so here today, we celebrate the wonderful variety of God. Amen? Amen. I mean, we celebrate that today. And so we're going to pray for Kenny. There will be two prayers. First will be offered by his father, Mr. Harris, who's also a minister. And he will offer a prayer as a loving father. And then I'll offer a prayer on behalf of the church. So let's pray together.
Could I say something real quick?
Yes, sure you can. You can say what you want to. Yes, sir.
I'm from a small church, Church of God. We're Pentecostal, and we're no different than you, except we're a lot louder. So it's no different. But I'm not used to one of these. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, that if you train up a child in the way that they go, when they're old, they won't depart. I can tell you that Kenny departed. But my wife and myself never gave up, and he did go into some dark places, and we didn't understand that, and we didn't relate to that at all, because we had raised him always in a home. We've always been Christians, and he'd always raised in a Christian home. But he did depart, and he did go into some dark places. But I can tell you that God is faithful. If you'll continue, if you have a child that's in a dark place, God is faithful. And if you will continue to pray, God will bring that child back. It's a promise in our Bible. Look in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Let's all stand. That's how we do in the Church of God. We're cool with that. Let's all stand, and if you feel comfortable stretching your hand this way, if not, pray with me today for my son.
Amen.
On behalf of me and my wife. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, God. It's a special time in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the calling that you've placed on Kenny's life, Lord. We thank you for the safety and the shelter that you placed around him. You say that you'll put your hedge of protection around us, and God, we're believing you today for that. Lord, we thank you for all the souls that he's already touched, Lord. Father God, we're just believing you that he's going to touch more souls for you, Lord. The Bible tells us to go out and bring them to the house of God and let them be taught by ministers, Lord, and then you come, God, and you save them, Lord. And Father God, that's what it's all about today, Lord. I thank you for Kenny. I thank you for his family. I thank you for his motorcycle club family. And I thank you, Lord, for this church family that he attends on Sunday mornings, God. And I just believe there's going to come a day, God, when if people don't understand what he's doing, they will understand it when they begin to see more and more results, Lord, in an area, God, that like Brother Terry said, he wouldn't go, and I'm going to tell you, neither would I, but God, he will. And Lord, there's a calling on his life for it, and we accept that today, Lord, and we speak into his life success. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pray with me now as we set him apart as a church. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and as a church, setting apart Kenny for the work of the gospel through this motorcycle club.
Amen.
Ministering to the one percenters, reaching out to those who have been marginalized and forgotten by society.
Yeah.
Father, I pray that you empower him with every gift from the Holy Spirit that he needs.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, fill him, control him, use him to do amazing things. And Father, we pray a hedge of protection around him as he travels on the road. Help him watch out for the crazy drivers. And Lord, I pray that you would just use him in the days ahead in ways that can only be described by you.
Amen.
Father, we love him. We support him. And we set him apart now as a church for the work of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. And let's say, God, we love him. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I feel really led, guys. If I could do something, Kenny, I want to do something. When we were doing this, I'll get him a mic, Ryan. I want you to ask all your club friends to come forward, and let's pray a blessing on them. Can we do that? Let's pray a blessing on them. As a newly minted minister, God bless you guys. We love you. We believe in you. Kenny, pray a blessing on your brothers. Amen. We love you guys. We believe in you. We believe in you. We believe in your calling. We believe in your ministry. Well, I don't know about you, but this has been a good day. Amen. It's a good day when we can send people to go places that we wouldn't normally go. I had a sermon that prepared for you today, but I'm not gonna preach it. Lord, happens very rarely with me because I'm sort of anal about things, but the Lord sort of changed gears on us here, and I think you sense that too by the move of the Spirit. I want to talk to you just very plainly for just a minute about your calling. Kenny stood and has taken on the task of going into places that we don't want to drive by, much less go into. That is his unique calling from the Lord. That is what God has set him aside to do, to go in to dark places and be light. But let's be honest today. For the rest of us in here, that is not our calling. But we have just a profound calling on our life. And so I want to ask you just real clearly. Easter's coming up next week. You have an influence circle that you're in. You have a circle of influence that you operate within. There are people around you on a regular basis that you have influence over. That is natural. You've lived your life. God's placed you here. You've just done what God's called you to do, and you've been faithful. And so you have a sphere of influence where you are. I want to ask you to accept God's call on your life and invest in those people around you. Begin to pour into their life words of kindness, words of hope, words of possibility, words of faith, words of peace, words of joy. The words that can bring radical transformation and shift in someone's soul and someone's direction. I'm asking you to take up the cause for the people around you. You don't have to get on the corner with a bullhorn. Hey, you're going to hell. You don't have to do that. You don't have to dress like me and look like the Michelin man. Can I get an amen? Right? You don't have to do that either. Be who God made you to be. Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that God formed you and shaped you in the womb of your mother. Before you lived one day, God fashioned you together in such a way that you should go and be. And by God's grace, we're not all the same. That's his design. That's his plan. And so I'm asking you as your friend, I'm begging you as your pastor, to please find the ministry and the sphere that God has placed you in and reach out and invest in those people. If you will invest in them, I promise you God will show you an increase. He absolutely might not come in a day, might not come in a week, but it will come. He will show you an increase. Your sphere of influence is yours. It is the mission field God puts you into. God didn't put me into your sphere. God didn't put you into mine. So you can't do my ministry and I can't do yours. But God has one for you. I am begging you today in the name of the risen Christ to please operate within that ministry sphere and touch lives and impact people. It doesn't have to be bombastic or abrasive. Your ministry can begin by simply, here's something crazy, be nice. Just be nice. Isn't it interesting how many believers are just not nice? You know, waitresses, people who's been a waitress or a waiter on a Sunday? Didn't you hate to see the Christians walk in the door? Well, sure you did. Because oftentimes, they're not nice. Right? So let's just start by being nice. And then here's number two for you. Speak positive words. When everybody goes negative around you, when everybody gossips around you, when everybody is Chicken Little around you, y'all know Chicken Little, the sky's falling. When everybody's Chicken Little around you, be positive. Speak positive words. Speak hopeful words. Speak words that bring grace and peace into someone's life. Let me tell you something. If you will start doing that, some things are going to happen. One, your mindset's going to change. And listen, your body can't go where your mind doesn't allow it. So if you're trapped today here in addiction or some sort of besetting sin, something has you shackled or chained up, your life won't change until your mind changes. You've got to change the way you think before you change the way you live. Doesn't matter what it is. You know? I mean, it doesn't matter. So if you'll start being positive in your words, positive in your attitude, then let me tell you something. Your life is going to change. And when your life begins to change, that ministry sphere that you're in, that group that God's naturally placed you into, we're not asking you to come out doing Tuesday night door knocking. How many of y'all grew up where you had to go Tuesday night door knocking? Any of you? Yeah? How many of you got door slammed in your face? Right? You don't want. How many of you got door knocked? Anybody got door knocked? Right? Yeah. If it's not the pizza man, you don't answer, do you? Right? If it's not Papa John's, you're not answering. Right. That was never God's plan. God's plan was right here in Scripture. As you are going, make disciples. As you are naturally going and living your life, impact the people in your sphere. Impact them with kindness, with love, and with truth. I believe that God has something so incredible for our church, for our fellowship. But it hinges very simply on our willingness to align our lives with His calling on our life. So please consider that this week. Please pray about that this week. Please impact the sphere of influence that you have this week. If you're struggling here today, if you're trapped in something, pornography, drugs, alcohol, maybe you're a spendaholic. Don't laugh, it's true. There are people who are spendaholics. Maybe your problem is food. Maybe your problem is lust. I don't know what it might be. But hear me today. There's freedom for you. And there's freedom for you in the person of Jesus Christ. You can live the life you've always dreamed of. You can have that life. You can have that freedom, and you can walk with those chains off. I promise you, you can. And hey, here's the crazy news. Ready for this? God wants to use you to bring that message of hope to someone in your sphere. So, in just a moment, we'll pray, and we'll be done. But I wonder how your life will be changed this week. I wonder what behavioral patterns will start to shift in your life because of a different way you think. I pray that will happen. And I pray that you will allow God to use you this week. Easter is next Sunday. by next Sunday, stage will be done, painting will be done, everything will it'll look great, it'll look beautiful. Bring someone with you. We have two services, 9:15 and 10:30. They'll be the same. They're absolutely the same, and they'll be in here. In between that, we're going to have a fellowship. So if you're bringing people that need to connect, we're going to have a fellowship. It was in the bulletin, but folks, let me remind you, bring something to pass around. Robin Hudson, raise your hand. She's right over here. If you want to know what to bring, you can talk to Robin, but bring, you know, casseroles, pastries, anything like that to hang around, to pass around. We're going to provide all the drinks and stuff, the church will, and we're going to have in between services, we'll have a fellowship time. If you're bringing someone that needs to connect relationally, that's going to be a really good spot for them to connect relationally. So bring someone with you. Don't let Easter pass without investing in the lives of someone else. God wants to use you if you'll let him, and he'll use you in a profound way. I promise you he will. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Doesn't matter what you did last night. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. So God will use you today if you'll let him. And just know this, you are loved. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. You are loved by your pastor. You're loved by your staff. You are loved. And so never doubt that. Whatever you do tonight, you could question a lot of things, but don't question God's love and the love of your church, because those two things remain constant no matter what you go through. We love you so much. Believe in you. Believe in what God wants to do with you. If you don't believe in yourself, lean on me. Let my belief be sufficient until you can grow in your own. Let me tell you something. I just want to share this, and then I'll land the plane. I promise we're coming in for the landing. All right? All right, let me just share this. I went through a time in my life several years ago before I moved to Florida. We lived in Columbus, Georgia for a brief period of time. And I struggled with my belief that God would use me in ministry. I just struggled with it. I struggled with my faith. I struggled with just believing. Two things happened that changed my life. Praise God for a godly wife. Me and Renee were laying in bed one night, and I was going through my litany of doubts and struggles, and I was whining and crying. And just so you know, brother, my wife was raised Assembly of God, all right? So she rose up in bed, and she looked at me, and she said, "Stop it! My God is bigger than your doubts. Now stop!" And I said, "And I married you?" That was sort of ugly, but it was true. God is bigger than your doubts. Let me say something to you, friends. Just because you have the presence of questions doesn't mean you have the absence of faith. That doesn't mean that. Jesus was approached by a man whose daughter needed to be healed. And basically said, "Hey, just speak the words and she'll be healed." Jesus said, "Do you believe?" He said, "Yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief." The presence of questions doesn't mean the absence of faith. They can coexist, and they do in all of us at some level. Then the second thing, I had a pastor at that time named Bill Purvis, godly, godly, godly man, good man up in Columbus, Georgia. And I went and talked to him about my struggle. And like a spiritual father, he just said to me, put his hand on my shoulder, came over to pray with me. I was crying, I was all in pieces. He came over and said, "Terry, lean on my faith until you can stand on your own." Now, I didn't know what that meant until years down the road. And what he was saying is this: I believe in you even when no one else does. Even when you can't believe in yourself, I see what God's done in you and I believe in it. Now, some of you are here today and you need somebody to believe in you. Can I tell you something? I believe in you. "Terry, you don't know what I did last night. You know what I did?" Well, you don't. None of my business. I believe in you. You say, "You know what I did last year?" I believe in you. "You don't know what I'm planning to do next week?" Believe in you. Why? Because God does. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Listen, God believes in you. And if he does, I do. I love you so very much. And thank you so much for being here. Would you pray with me? Then we're going to have a brief time of announcements and an offering. Well, Father, you've showed up today. And that's way, 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 way better than anything we can plan for. Lord, thank you for calling people out of our church into ministries that are profound and are serious, where life hinges in the balance. Thank you for calling people out to that. Thank you for calling Kenny, Kaylin, and the kids. Thank you for blessing them, setting them apart. And Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here today that needs to be touched by you, that Holy Spirit, you'll do it. You'll touch them. Right now, I want to extend an invitation, heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody here who does not know Christ personally, I want to ask you to do this. Just pray this prayer. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe on the third day you resurrected from the grave. And right now I place my faith and trust in you the best I know how. I declare you Lord over my life. Change my heart. Forgive me of my sins. If you prayed that or something like that for the first time today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Just slip it up wherever it may be. Anybody in this room? Okay? Second, if some of you are here today and you would say, you know what, Terry, I know the Lord, but I just need the Holy Spirit's power to live his ministry out better. I've sort of lived for myself. I've been casual with my calling. I've been casual with what God expects me to do. And I just need the Holy Spirit to help me. If that's you today, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand right now. Just slip it up right now. All over this room. All over this room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Slide it down. Slide it down. Thank you. If every one of you raise your hands, we'll invest in people next week. I promise you, this place will be filled 2 and 3 times over, and we'll see hundreds of people come to know Christ. So we just ask that you take that step. And then finally, if some of you here today are struggling with addiction, with pornography, with any other sin that's just crippling your life and robbing you of the joy that the Lord wants to bring to you, and I promise you, it's real. It's real. If you're being robbed of that joy today and you need special prayer, I'm going to pray for you right now. But I need to know. So we just lift up your hand right now. If you're in that journey, if you're in that journey, yep, several of you all over this, yep, several of you all over this room. Okay, we're going to pray right now that God's going to break those chains and that God's going to begin to set you free. Okay, so let's pray right now. Well, Father, you saw many hands went up, and I'm sure there were others who just, this is a little bit awkward, a little bit strange. So Lord, they're not really into sort of public declaration of need. And so, Lord, in their heart, they were saying, yeah, I really need that. So, Father, I just pray you'll minister to them as well. And that, Lord, you would break the chains that bind these your people. That, Lord, you would free them, help them step out and get the help that they need. Father, bring wholeness to their heart, wholeness to their spirit. Do this, Lord, we beg in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Man, this has been a wonderful day. Quickly, ushers, come forward if you will. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Ryan, come on up. We got a couple of announcements for you. Let me talk to you a little bit about the offering first. We give here at Grace for two reasons. Because Jesus is Lord and the gospel is the most important message. So if you affirm with us on that, we invite you to give. But more importantly than that is this little card. If you're a guest here today, we really would like to have your information so we can pray for you. And the most important part of that card's right here on the back. That's where you write down your prayer request. We will pray for you if you tell us how to. I promise you we will pray for you if you tell us how to. So please take a minute, write out a prayer request. You can slip it in the offering plate. Or here's what you can do. We have boxes, right? You see these metal boxes? If you can't write it down quick enough, put your prayer request in the box. We will get it, and we will pray for you this week. Amen? Man, let me pray for you. Father, as we give, as we share prayer requests, Lord, I pray that you'll be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead, guys. All right, Ryan?
Amen. Couple of quick things. There are no Wednesday night activities this week for youth, for adults, for kids. There's nothing going because we have spring break this week. So usually when the kids are out of school, we take a little bit of a break. We'll be back in the week after Easter with the adult Bible study going on as you guys continue to walk through the books of the Bible. Where are you guys at now? Are you in the New Testament yet? Last two books, so you're getting to my favorite, the Italian prophet, right? The Italian Prophet Malachi, great book. One of my favorites. Right after, one time my parents said, find a job, and I did. It was right in the Bible. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Was there. So, but we will be back following that the following week. Okay, students, there are two opportunities for you to raise some more funds for camps coming up on April the 23rd. We'll be at Hitchcock's in East Palatka that Sunday afternoon, helping to bag groceries right after church. We'll head over that way. And then on Friday night, April the 28th, we'll be again back at Hitchcock's in East Palatka, bagging groceries there, taking donations. Your second payment for camp is due. Total cost for camp is $270. And we're just excited. We've got a few spots left. They're filling up quick, so make sure that you get your forms filled out and get those turned in too.
Cool. Right. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks, Ryan. A couple things. Don't forget, again, Easter Sunday, two services, 9:15, 10:30, 10:35. We'll have that fellowship in the middle. Folks, please bring something to pass around. Breakfast casserole, pastry, something. We'll provide the drinks. Please, please, please bring it. Don't think, oh, somebody else will do it. Because if you think somebody else will do it, nobody's going to do it. So please bring something to pass around. You can see Robin right over here. If you need to talk to her, bring your stuff in. Robin, what time? See, we'll start the service at 9. They can start bringing stuff in as early as they want to, right? Yeah, okay. As early as y'all want to, you can bring it in, put it in the gym. We'll have some tables set up in the gym is where we're going to have that fellowship time. Please do so. Don't forget, bring someone with you. It'll be a wonderful time, and we're just believing that God is going to change a whole lot of lives. I don't promo sermons much because I just don't do it, but we are going to be talking next week about something that I believe people need to hear because it's truth from God's word, and it's this: what makes Jesus different? Because we live in an age of pluralism and coexistence. So what makes Jesus different? What is it about Jesus that we would stand up and say, there's no other God but him? So what would call us to say that? And why does that matter to people? So if you know someone asking those questions, I sure hope you'll invite them and bring them with you. Man, we love you so much. We are so glad you're here. Kenny, Kayla family, we love you. We believe in you. We bless you. Great things ahead. We believe that. Guys, thanks for coming and supporting your brother. We love you. We believe in you. We believe God's going to do great things with you. Stay with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord and we'll be dismissed. Well, Father, this has been a glorious day. Thank you for your kindness and goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And now, Lord, be with us as we truly, Lord, seek to live out the ministry you've called us to. In that sphere of influence that we naturally operate within, Lord, empower us to make a difference in those lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. See